and welcome to another episode of How Very Hannah. Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time to roll the titles. Once upon a time, there was a stagey girl with a big dream. She hoped, dreamed, and prayed to work at Tesco. Wait, someone's written this script wrong. Can we get a redo?
Take two!
I dreamed a dream that one day I would hit the stage. And so it seems that dream has come true.
Whoa, whoa.
Oh my God, you guys, it's really happening. My life has been changed for the better and I'm seizing the day and spinning into the spotlight. How very slay, it's giving queen. How very
cringe,
get out my scene. It's beginner's call, the stage is set for me. How very Hannah,
how very Hannah,
how very Hannah, that's the name for my podcast show and your front row. So how very Hannah,
hit the lights.
How very Hannah,
that's too bright.
It's my podcast show. Let's go. Hope you enjoyed that, everyone. The full title. No, I'm joking. I'm in a bit of a kooky, crazy mood this morning, but I'm going to calm down, all right? I'm just feeling my oats. I've learned that new phrase. It's a whole thing. Feeling your oats is like just feeling yourself and just like, yeah, I'm just feeling my oats. Joe Bags taught me that. Have you ever heard of that? Anyone here?
No.
Yeah, she's feeling her oats. And I was like, what does that mean? It's like, yeah, she's slaying something. And I was like, my oats so simple. No, tumbleweed. Guys, we're in the studio filming three episodes today and I'm feeling delirious already and it's episode one. So this is going to be a crazy day. But I think we only have one live show left. I think we only have one live How Very Hannah live show left in Manchester / Salford / whatever you want to call it. But I think it's sold out. I'm going to manifest that it's sold out by now because I really think it is and it's going to be wild. So, but if it hasn't sold out, then go and get your tickets. If it has, snooze, you lose, unfortunately. But I hope you enjoyed if you've come to any of my other dates. I've honestly had the best time and we'll do a full debrief, I'm sure, after Manchester. But I've just had the best time and every show I get so nervous for and I don't dread it. But like every show, I just get so nervous that like I'm going to do badly. And it's just made me feel so proud of myself that like I can do it. And like I can just go out there and do it. And like, I don't know. I'm just feeling very like, oh, I'm finally like feeling more comfortable within myself, if that makes sense. I'm getting emotional now. Jokes. So in today's episode, I'm chatting to a lovely man who I've actually just met for the first time today. And he won ITV Superstar, which was like the search for Jesus Christ Superstar. He's done many, many shows, Phantom, Jesus Christ Superstar, loads of other things, which we will talk about in the episode. So without further ado, why do I say it like I'm like a Cockney? Without further ado, let me introduce you to my guest for the episode. A big welcome to the pod, Ben Forster!
Yeah! Thank you. Hello, everyone.
Welcome to How Very Hannah.
I'm so excited to be here.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, oh my God, it's so gorgeous. It's just like it is on the Instagram.
On the telly. On the telly bar.
Exactly.
Yeah. Where's your accent from?
Sunderland.
Yes. I went to Sunderland on the SpongeBob tour, did I? Yeah, I did. Lovely place.
Do you know what? Sunderland, gorgeous theatre.
Oh, yes.
Can't ever say anything bad about that theatre because the Sunderland Empire is beautiful.
When I'm on tour, I forget what theatre's what. I had a guest on a couple of weeks ago that said, you know, in the Oxford Theatre, you know, stage left wing is like this. I'm like, no, I don't remember that.
Same. I don't even remember. I don't remember places. I don't remember, like, theatres. I'm not very good with details.
I always
get really jealous. You know, like when you talk to people and they go, oh, like I went there like years ago. I went on holiday to like Nice and there's a really amazing restaurant called like blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, how do you remember that? I'll write you a list of places to go, like things to see. No. I'm like, I've got
maybe
no,
we're just not present.
I literally live in the moment.
Yeah, yeah. We're not harping on the past
like that.
True. I mean, talking about going to all these different places, you've done an arena tour.
Yeah, which was...
Do you remember any of those?
Like, I remember being terrified.
Yeah.
It's quite a terrifying experience.
I can imagine.
But I've got to say, like, as a musical theatre performer, we don't get them moments.
Yeah.
You don't get to, like, feel like Robbie Williams or Beyonce would.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, like, when you see, like, a rock star, a pop star in an arena, like, with, like, 20,000 people, 33,000 people sometimes.
So that was the biggest arena?
The biggest was Sydney Arena, yeah. But we did 6 shows in 1 weekend. So we
Friday to Sunday or?
2 Friday, 2 Saturday, 2 Sunday.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah, imagine my voice.
Oh my God, I'd be wrecked.
Yeah.
Ginger shot.
Oh, it was.
Every day, every hour.
Well, actually, I didn't speak in that tour. I did like what Celine Dion does. And I just didn't socialize. I didn't drink any wine. I didn't have any fun. I didn't chat. And I just had to like literally play myself into it. But, you know, also standing there at the end of Gethsemane and feeling the sort of something weird happens in an arena. You know, like in a theater where we do live off the energy a lot.
Yeah.
I think in shows and all audiences are like totally different, which is bizarre. You know, sometimes you go out there in the grid. Sometimes you can feel the energy, can't you?
Yeah.
But in an arena, it's like, you actually feel the energy.
Really?
I can't, and it's almost like a wind.
Oh,
but when people applaud and cheer, that many people scream and all stand up, there is just something that like gushes towards you and makes you go, whoa.
It probably is a rush of air.
Yeah, it might be
that
air.
Many people all standing up and all clapping their hands, like you are going
to
feel it.
I mean,
it's going to shake.
I used to think it was like a wind, like an air thing. But actually, then I was like, by the end of the tours, I was like, is it an energy that I feel? Like, is it just people going, that you can just feel this coming towards you. But it is an amazing experience.
It's weird because I would think that in an arena, you'd feel less connected because you've obviously, I mean, I'm assuming you've got IEMs in it because you wouldn't be able to do it otherwise. But like when I did 6, very different 700 seat theatre as opposed to 33,000.
Yeah, but an arena atmosphere.
Yeah,
to be
but
fair.
We were in ears and I've, for the first year of the contract, no, for the whole contract, it was really hard to get used to.
It's awful.
And it felt very disconnected, like I wasn't in the room and I kept asking, can I have more ambient noise? Can you feed me more of the audience into my ears? Because I can't hear, you can't hear their laughter, you can't hear their claps and stuff like that.
It is weird. You do lose the atmosphere in an arena, definitely.
Yeah.
You haven't got people just in front of you. People are 50 feet away from you sometimes. So you don't get any of that intimacy. But on the Jesus Christ Superstar tour, we had like all close-up live camera. So I had to give like TV acting to an arena that would be watching me sometimes on stage. So you had to like weirdly set your body language and your energy big, but your facials, you couldn't be like on screen going, like crying. Like,
yeah, like
you would
if
want
you're
to
if, going for the back of the
if
house.
If there was no camera. But
yeah,
it's it was really weird. That with the in-ear thing, I started using 2.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't just, also, I mean, this is no disrespect to any of the sound people that ever worked on there, but sometimes I used to like get into like, say Gethsemane would start,
mm-hmm.
and all you'd be listening for is the guitar, ding, 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 ding. And I'd get like,
ingrained.
I'd get like, oh, well, anyway, I've told him, I'm not going to go back out with him. I just can't be bothered. And I could just hear someone's like conversation rather than the guitar. And I'd be like,
what is going
like,
on?
Well, I can just hear people chatting and I know Gethsemane's starting. I'm like looking around like the sound guy, like, like I can't like, take about.
You're watching
out.
The guitarist trying to see the strums.
Literally, was watching the guitarist going,
that's
hearing the tune, sort of going. I only want to say, you know,
oh
really.
So, I mean, that's live theatre.
But it you've got to put so much trust in people to wear them because actually, like we can sing anywhere. We could busk in a street. I can sing along to someone tapping their hand. Do you know what I mean? Like we can do it live. That's what we've got to trust. But sometimes when you're blanked out completely and you can't hear, you're trusting a lot of people and a lot of technology to make it sort of work.
It feels like you're underwater. That's how I would always describe it. I was like, I just feel like I'm underwater.
Well, now I wear one.
Yes.
But everyone says it's bad for your
ears. Yeah, and they scare us. And they're like, if you wear one, it throws you off and it's bad for your ears. But
it feels lovely. Like,
yeah, because you can hear.
Hear the noise, hear the band, but you can hear yourself crystal clear. So
yeah,
now I always wear one.
It definitely takes some getting used to it.
Yeah, I'll just be old and deaf.
So when you do concerts, you were saying before that you now do lots of concerts and stuff like that. Do you wear in-ears for those, or are you more theatre?
I do. The thing is, I've got like quite an annoyingly dynamic voice for some
people.
That's a flex. But it's like, you know, I'm like, I go from inner noise to real outer, and I get compressed all the time. It's like the standard thing that everyone does to me is compress my voice, which makes me not be able to hit some of my, like, not be able to connect with some of my high notes. So like the Gethsemane scream, for instance, like I've got to hear it piercing my drum, my eardrum, to stay supported on it. Yeah. So sometimes, like, if you go for it, and then the compression hits in the sound system, it's like your voice goes, wah, wah. And you're like, I can't hear what I'm doing. Actually, sometimes it's safer to have an ear in where I can go, can you just put no compression through that? I need to hear the exact noise I'm making to be able to sustain the note of it. And that's like a weird technical thing. But yeah, otherwise I prefer just wedges and live. But that also, if there's an orchestra on stage or a band, I would deafen them. And they all complain. First violins are always like, can we have less voice? I'm like, oh no, please. I'm singing Gethsemane in the show. I need my voice.
Yeah, how are you going to like compress that yourself?
Yeah.
I mean, you must be a pro now in like being able to tell, you know, the sound people and tell the teams in theatres like what you need. I struggle with that because they go, what do you need? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I can hear myself, I think, but then when the audience are there, it feels different. Like, you must be good at just knowing what you want and need.
I mean, I do. Look, it's really hard. It's hard to sort of, when you get into them really short little sound checks, when you've got like a 5-minute sound check, sometimes you just have to be really blunt and be like, please, please, please don't compress me so much. And please, can I have my normal self in my ears? And can I have, I asked like a really good sound guy that I love and know. I was like, what am I asking for? And he was like, your voice needs a long plate reverb. Don't even know what that means. But now every time I go into a sound check, I go, can I have a long plate reverb, please?
And they're like, yep, got it.
Like, yeah, and hardly any compression. And like,
oh, that's good. So I need to find a sound person to teach me what to ask for.
Actually, like, especially in town, if you're working with someone that's just listening to your voice every day, they've actually worked out what really suits you. Usually after a few weeks.
Yeah, they've got our backs, haven't they?
Yeah, of course.
Like, they sort us out.
Look, no one wants us to sound bad. That's what I've always got to remind myself. I'm like, why are you doing this to my voice? They don't want me to sound bad. They're just actually, my voice is really difficult because it's loud and
it's
then
all
quiet
a
and a bit dramatic.
But it's amazing.
No,
and that kind of leads me on to you singing in theatres and then singing on TV in a studio, very different. So you did ITV's, it's ITV, right?
Yeah.
Superstar.
Uh-huh.
And you won.
Yeah, I mean, how did that happen?
I mean, come on.
It's so weird. Like, it doesn't even feel real. It's like a long time ago now.
Yeah.
But like, even like when I think of it, you know, like if I made a memory up of like, I don't know, like performing in Iceland and I thought about how that would feel, that's just what that feels like.
Right.
Like, it doesn't feel like it was my reality at all. I think I was just like in like a focused days of going like, what? Like, what do I have to do? Am I singing that tomorrow? Yeah, like,
it was
so scary. Like, we rehearsed for like 2 months, all of our like 12 numbers. So if you got to the end, you'd have performed like 12 songs. So we went through rehearsals, dances, although all our different routines, they all had different setups and stuff.
So you learn them all at the same time?
So we learned them all over like this 2 month or a 6 week period.
Right.
But then when people were knocked out, so like, say, like when like David Hunter was knocked out, right? I mean, how dare they? They'd go, oh, but we hired a really expensive piano for David's performance tomorrow, so can you sing Run Now? And I was like, what? This is 11:30 at night, and the show's tomorrow. We want it every night for 10 or 12
mental.
Nights. So you'd be like, oh, and they'd be like, we'll give you water cue. So I'm like, I'm like doing karaoke on ITV. Fine.
Like, on live telly.
I've never sang
Thanks,
Run,
Angela,
but I will sing Run now because you've got like a 10 grand piano and that's more important than the song I was going to do.
That's crazy.
I've got to say, I did prefer Run to the song that I had at the time.
Okay, so small wins.
So I was like, win-win, it's better. Yeah. But it was really difficult. Like, things like that, just being chucked in. I mean, look, you learn loads. You really learn to like control the anxiety that I would normally feel. You just haven't got a choice.
I mean, that's like a massive just thrown in at the deep end kind of thing. Had you done many jobs before that? Had you worked in theatre for a long time?
Yeah, I didn't do that until I was 30. 20. I think I was 30. Well, it was 2012. Yeah, I was 31. Mm-hmm. So I made my West End debut when I was 18.
Oh.
Just out of college.
Fresh out of college.
Yeah. Actually, I was still in college. I was still at Italia Conti.
I went to Italia Conti.
Did you? Oh my God, Conti kid. That's hilarious.
Wait, that just hit me. I was like, Italia Conti.
I didn't know you did. Oh my God, that's so fun.
For 3 years. Yeah.
Oh wow!
Oh well, my God, that's crazy. We probably got
before
loads of
you
neutrals.
Were born. To be fair,
no.
I think, but it is probably before you were born.
Who was like teaching there?
Oh my God, who would have stayed? Denise Ranger.
Oh no.
Jane Draper.
I've heard of her. Yeah.
A legend.
Mm-hmm. Was this like contemporary?
No, this was this. No, it was like proper like Janet Jackson dancing. I mean, I couldn't do it.
Oh.
Tall. I used
Come
to be like
on,
at the back.
Out.
I used to be like at the back. She was like, I really love you for trying.
Oh, bless.
I mean, I wasn't a dancer. I'm not a dancer. I was never a dancer. But I do feel like I'm a good actor. So like I used to just go into auditions, dance auditions, and just like act like a dancer.
Yeah.
And then I got my second show, which was the Beatles musical, All You Need Is Love. But we were all dancing. It was an ensemble show. So I think there was like 8 of us in the whole show.
Wow.
And it was a really amazing cast, to be fair. But I turned up for the first day rehearsals and they were like, oh, so like they're the singers and they're like, you're obviously the dancer in the show. So you've got like these 3 solo dancers. And I was like, what? Like this was Kate Prince, like a massive choreographer. And then David Charnock, I think, who was like DV8, like a massive contemporary dance company choreographing the show. And I was like, I'm going to have to leave this job. Like this is not, I can't do a solo dance on a West End stage. And they were like, we absolutely picked you because you've got the most beautiful interpretation and you can, we love what you're doing. And I was like, no, honestly, if I don't have a solo song and I'm a dancer, I cannot be in the show. I just can't put myself through it. So they gave me a solo song and I didn't do any solo dancing.
Right.
Because I just couldn't do it. But I felt so bad. I felt like I like totally conned them thinking I was a dancer.
Yeah, from the audition.
I do remember like a college when dancing just clicked with me one day. Mm-hmm. Like I literally couldn't put 1 foot. I couldn't link a move, so I couldn't go like step or change and kick and turn.
Yeah.
I just was like I just panicked. And then one day, after about 6 or 7 weeks of doing it all day, every day,
yeah,
I did realize what the feeling was.
Yeah.
And I think that made it much easier. And now I'm just like a singer who dances. Who moves?
A mover, a strong mover.
Yeah, I've even done an audition before for like a dance show where I've done the routine, picked it up, but then they've been like, can you do like a double or a triple pirouette? And I used to literally just stand there going...
With your hand.
With my hand. Like, I can't do that. So that's my signal that I know I'm supposed to be doing it, but I can't do
it. But it's not happening.
Yeah.
But I feel like you just have to go in there and like know what you can do and just like be strong with it.
Yeah.
And
just
often...
pretend.
Yeah. What I hate is when they say, oh, it's a movement call. Which a movement call is meant to be, you know, a
Absolutely.
Little bit of just a movement. Doing so like not dancing.
Do a box
it's like
step.
Yeah, box steps.
Yeah,
that click,
with a little arm here.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like not like
full blown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
And
I
sometimes
it
will say movement call and you get there and it's be like, okay, now freestyle and you've got people doing backflips and people doing 180 kicks.
I admit it's been years since I've been in a dance call. So
dance school scare me so much.
I think most of the casting directors know that I can't do it now.
I'd like to see. Did you have to dance for Superstar?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, we had like little routines, but it was get in line, go back, groove a bit, you know, to pop songs. It wasn't ever like dancing really.
I can't get over how many icons were like involved with that. The head judge was Dawn French, right?
Dawn French.
One of the head judges.
Literally obsessed.
Is she a legend?
Oh my God, she's gorgeous and still beautiful to me. Every time like when I see her, when we bump into each other, she's like the warmest, loveliest woman.
Really?
And then Melanie, obviously she became my Mary. And then we're like, she's one of my best friends.
As in like
friends.
Mel C?
Mel C,
As in like Spice Girls?
Spice Girls.
So, sorry, this is crazy.
No, it's
amazing.
It's mad.
So now she's one of your besties?
She is really one of my best. I mean, really, we're like best friends. You know, I was on holiday over in the summer and we spend loads of time together whenever we're free.
Yeah.
She's with me and my partner or, you know, Aww. We're there. So it really changed my life. And Chris Moyles as well. Like, is
wow,
really
Chris Moyles.
In my friend group, you know, he was just coming to see us the other week. And it really filled my life with some amazing people. Mm. Tim Minchin was amazing working with him.
Yeah.
And just getting to know his personality over the 2 years and, you know, really... a really beautiful experience.
Good.
You know, it was worth all the trauma of how hard it actually was to get it.
I think, like, often in theatre, like, the glitz and glam that people see, it's so refreshing when people's experiences are actually good as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because so often people will see the glitz and glam of a show or of, you know, a TV show or something like that, and then you'll find out, oh, there was loads of awful things happening.
Yeah,
and, like,
awful people.
People didn't enjoy it and stuff like that, and it's really refreshing when people actually have good experiences.
Totally. I feel really lucky in my career that I've worked with some really nice people, mm-hmm. because I think I hear, like, some horror stories about some casts and you go, oh God, or the building is awful, there's an awful atmosphere or whatever. Mm. But, like, honestly, I've really worked with... I remember, like, on the opening night of the O2 Jesus Christ Superstar, me and Tim appeared out of, like, this little hidden box in the set, and we were in this little tiny room in the scaffolding pod together, and he could see how nervous I was, I think, and he started, literally, we had, like, it was 2 minutes and the show was starting, and the overture started, which is quite long for Jesus Christ Superstar, and he went, I'm having, like, a panic attack, and I was like, what? And he was like, I can't do this, I'm really nervous. And
Tim,
I was like,
in...
Tim Minchin. Right? He was like, I can't do this.
Wow.
And he was like, and I'm like, Tim, calm down. You've mm-hmm. got it. Like, you can 100% do this. We're going to go out. We've rehearsed. We know exactly what we're doing. We're going to smash it. So I'm starting to give him, like, Tim Minchin this prep talk, thinking, like, who am I even? Right? So we get out, we do the show. And in the interval, I went to his dressing room and I was like, are you all right? Are you feeling all right? He went, yeah, I was fine. I only did that because you were nervous. I wanted to take your mind off of it.
No way.
And I was like, I still don't know to the moment whether he did it because he saw how nervous I was. And he literally made me calm because I was calming him down.
Yeah.
And literally then I was on. I'm like, did he do that or was he actually nervous?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, no, I mean, wasn't really.
He's a good actor. But it was an amazing thing to do. Wow. Regardless, you know, it was kind of nice that he opened up and let me calm him down if he was actually nervous. Mm. And if he was actually doing that to stop my nerves, then it was amazing.
Oh, bless him. What a lovely man.
Yeah, he is lovely. Hannah's hotline. Bow, bow, bow. Ooh, can I answer her?
Go on, get it, Ben.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Who is the most famous person in your contacts?
Oh.
Ooh, she's a good one.
Okay, you can put the phone down if you want. Okay. Or you can keep it.
What should I do? Put it down. Okay.
So, let's get into it.
So it's either, like, Spice Girl's quite famous, isn't she?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Everyone sort of knows. So it could either be Melanie.
Oh, Melanie. Sorry, does anyone know that meme? No?
It might be, like, Andrew Lloyd Webber. Don't know. I mean, that he's...
Come on.
Yeah,
get
that's
it up.
Different.
No. So, should we prank call Andrew Lloyd Webber?
Oh my God, no. Because I actually want to work.
Yeah, but you just put, like, 141 at the start.
I've never called him, just so you know.
No, we should not prank call Andrew Webber. That's really
him.
Silly.
I email him. And we have text, but I've never actually pressed call. I wouldn't dare.
What would you say? Like, hi, just calling for a catch up.
Hello, how are you? No, I was just, you know what? Like, he's been an amazing person in my life.
Oh, I'm
really
glad.
Like, he is my actual, like, mentor. He supported me. He's given me so many amazing opportunities. You know, we've, like, I've been at his houses and his house in Barbados and stuff. So, like,
oh my gosh.
You know, I really, really have so much respect for him and his family, and his kids are so beautiful and kind. And I've got to say, like, that was one thing that really stuck out, getting to know that family, is how grounded and lovely they are. Because, like, you go to his house and obviously you're like, I studied that painting for my GCSE art, and, like, it should be in the National Gallery, but, like, it's in your house and that's the original.
Wow.
So, okay. Like, you know, it's the houses are unbelievable. Yeah. It's beautiful. Obviously, the legacy he's got is amazing. But then, like, the kids are just so lovely. I think it's a real measure of a person if your kids are, like, beautiful people that would do anything for you and support you. And, you know, I remember, like, being at an Indian restaurant, like, in the middle of the night one night. It was really late with his kids. And, like, one of the boys was, like, on his phone and was like, yes. And I was like, oh, what? Like, what happened? Like, is someone just won the football? He's like, no, I just sold a pair of my trainers on eBay. And I was like, why did you sell a pair of trainers on eBay? And he's like, oh, because I'm saving up for my first car.
Oh, wow.
And I was like,
okay.
Ooh, that's amazing.
That is crazy.
Like, that's...
I mean, even talking about Andrew Webber being, like, grounded is... I don't know him personally like you do, but I saw him at Paddington Station. So the man's still taking public transport.
Absolutely. You know,
with his dog.
Yeah, well, that dog is so
cute. He did look a bit lost, and I should have gone up to him and been like, are you okay? Do you need any help? But then I thought, is that Is that a bit embarrassing for me?
He probably was.
He was like looking around like this and his dog was there and I just felt really sorry for him and he just looked a bit lost. I mean, he probably wasn't. Andrew, I have total faith in you if you're watching this. I'm sure he is, obviously.
But of course he is.
Of course he is. I really wish I'd gone over and said something.
Well, but you
should
have just said
hello.
And
I actually think I came straight to record an episode and I was like, I just saw Andrew Lloyd Webber in Paddington Station.
Yeah, you should have said hello regardless. He is really, really nice. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, people ask me that question a lot because they know I've worked with him so much. But he's a really, really nice man.
Yeah.
Like, he's just... lovely.
So he's probably the most famous person on your phone?
I would say, but then I don't know. Would more people know Spice Girls? I don't know, actually. It's really
hard.
Yeah,
it depends.
Andrew Lloyd Webber, everyone knows his name.
I've obviously stalked your Instagram and I did see that Hannah Waddingham follows you.
Well, I worked with Hannah Waddingham.
She
was my Rizzo in Greece in 2002. So I'm old, Hannah. I'm really old.
No, you're not old.
You were five. Or something ridiculous.
I was five.
You five? That was a good guess.
Yeah, I was born in 97.
Amazing. Hannah was Rizzo. I was Doody. We did Grease together in the Victoria Palace.
Wow.
So, and then we've been really close ever since. And then actually this was beautiful. I love this moment we had. We were doing Radio 2 Friday Night's Music Night together. So we did like a duo show where it was just me and her for like one of the Friday nights is music night. And we were in Bath and she was successful. She was already in the Game of Thrones and I think maybe Sex Education. So she was recognizable. And we'd done the show and then we went out for an Indian and there was loads of people.
Like you're always going out for an Indian.
Oh my God, I'm always eating Indian. It is one of my favorite cuisines. I probably lead that a little bit. Should we go for an Indian?
Yeah.
that is so true. Anyway,
it's just funny that you mentioned it twice.
I know, it's really funny.
I do feel like that's a theatre thing.
I had
like
Indian
after a
last
show,
night as well.
Really?
Oh my God.
What's your favourite dish?
Just like a chicken tikka masala.
Oh yeah, I'm a chicken korma girl. I'm really basic.
I just love it though.
Yeah, same. Anyway, swiftly.
Anyway, so I was like, how's everything? We had a moment to catch up and she was like, I've got like this feeling about this job that I'm in for. And I did a final audition for it like 2 days ago, but I've not heard anything. And I was like, well, what is it? She's like, oh, it's like this show called Ted Lasso. And I just feel like if I get it, it could change my life. I feel like I need that step. And I really want to be here and see my daughter. And she'd been dead busy. And then we went to bed. Well, we went out in Bath and had a raucous night, actually. And got very drunk. And then we went to bed.
And then you had another curry.
We got up, not for breakfast.
Yeah.
and then we were sitting at breakfast and she got the phone call saying that she got it.
Oh my God, so you were there.
I was literally there, yeah. Amazing. She was like, I can't believe I've got it. And like, we were so, me and my partner Paul, we were just so happy.
Oh my God, for her. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, it's amazing seeing it. You know, it's funny, being in the industry for 25 years, you follow people's huge leaps, you know, like Cynthia Erivo. I remember seeing in a jazz club when she was like 17 and I was hosting a music night on Park Lane at the time. This is like 2006 or something like that. I remember going to Cynthia and going like, you have got the best voice I've ever heard. She literally came forward. She was singing BVs and she came forward and sang like a line. And I went and found her after the show and I was like, would you please come and sing at my music night? And she was like, oh my God, like, can I? Like, and I was like, you, like, there's no one gets paid or anything. It's just like what we do, like every Thursday. And it was in like a members club, a club called the Met Bar. And anyway, Cynthia used to come and like sing and we used to sing free every week for years, literally years, like, you know, and seeing her become who she is, you know. And like my first understudy in my first show, Le Carver, which we just talked about, I was understudying Luke Evans, who became, you know, a Hollywood actor as well. I love it. That's what I love about the industry, that no one ever knows when their moment is, their big moment, you know, and it's not important that everyone has it, but it's so exciting just watching people get them moments, especially Hannah, you know. I love it. Like, and we still like FaceTime. When we catch up, we like on the phone for like 3 hours.
Oh my God.
Just crying with laughter.
Well, I'm truly obsessed with her. I'm not worthy of having the same name as her.
Yes, you are.
No, she was hosting the Olivier's 1 year and I was doing like the red carpet thing and she walked past me and I was literally like, what the heck? Like, she is just unreal.
She's a queen. It's funny,
and
isn't it?
The way she holds herself and like just the way she is. I mean, obviously, I don't know her personally, but like she just, She's just iconic. I love her.
She's absolutely iconic.
Please tell her that I
love
her.
She's like the next generation of like the Judi Denchers, yeah. Maggie Smiths. She is 100. Absolutely mm-hmm. a national treasure. Totally. She's going to be there forever. We love her. We love you, Hannah. And I'm so proud of you.
We love you, Hannah Waddingham, if you're watching. We do. My most famous person on my contact list, I fear is not going to be anywhere on those levels. I'm scrolling through now. Not me having to scroll through. I can't even think off the top of my head. I don't think I even really have anyone. Maybe Dick and Dom.
I mean, what did they used to shout? Bogies!
Bogies!
Look, they're quite famous. I used to scream bogies from the top of a mountain when I was skiing. Just to annoy
everyone. They're iconic. I did panto with them.
You need to work on your icons.
Yeah,
you need
true.
A few icons in your life. You'll
okay,
get them.
Okay, well, give me your really number. Old. Give me your number and then I'll have one. I mean, not anyone that I like regularly chat to. No. Okay, well, you've absolutely pipped me there.
Yeah, I mean, do you know who I really want in my phone?
Who
I really want, and I just love her. I want Adele. My friend.
Adele.
I did meet her, and I was like, can we just connect a bit more so we can become best friends? But it didn't quite work. She was so nice.
Really?
I loved her. I met her backstage at Wembley after the Spice Girls show.
Yeah.
And I was in Adele's first 100 fans on her website. So until like a year ago, I used to get like everything sent for free.
Oh, wow.
Like they still did it. And I don't know whether maybe when she has some new material, I'll get it sent for free. Or maybe I need to change my address. Maybe that's what happened, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, I used to get like signed free stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I've got loads of free stuff. Because I remember like seeing her on like Jules Holland or something.
Yeah.
One night, and she literally stopped me in my tracks. I was like, oh my God, who is that? And it was on her first like record.
Wow.
And I just was like, oh, I love her. I just really connected with
her. And
so you
were one of the first 100 to like sign up to her like mailing list.
And I was like, I feel like I'm going to just see her become really famous.
Yeah.
And then she just did. But I really love her. And I met her and I told her that. And I screamed in her face when she turned around because I was like, oh my God, that might be Adele. Oh my God, it might be Adele. It might be Adele. I just saw like this blonde hair from the back of this woman's head. And I was like, I think it's Adele. And she turned around and I went, ah! Like screamed in her face. So I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I just love you. And she went, my name's Ben. And she went, I know who you are. You're Jesus Christ Superstar. And I was like,
oh my God.
What? How did Adele know who I was?
That's amazing.
It was insane. Because she was also like a telly addict, wasn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah. But isn't that crazy? Like telly. The reach of like telly, social media. Like you never know who's watching.
Not truly. Yeah.
Like what if... I'm trying to think of... Well, actually, I had one moment where a YouTuber that I watched growing up, Louise Pentland, I was obsessed with her, still am. She has a daughter who's like 14 and her daughter was like in all the videos growing up and I like felt like I knew their family, even though I just
Isn't
followed them.
Isn't that funny when you do not... You feel like you know people.
Yeah, and then her daughter is now a follower of mine, oh and now God. We've all become really good friends and we did a podcast episode together and I'm like, I just, like, it's crazy that I grew up watching her and like now she knows who I am.
Yeah, that is funny.
It's mad.
It is funny. I think that's a really weird thing about our industry is when you connect with sort of people that you knew before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, being so close with someone like Melanie now, but like having real, like, beautiful, intimate moments of our life and sharing troubles and problems and scares and all these things that we share together. It's weird because there's still, I mean, there's not, I never think, oh, that's a Spice Girl.
Yeah.
I don't think it, but every so often someone will go, oh my God, like you, and I go, oh God, like we were just like lying naked in bed together one night, like chatting really drunk, like crying our eyes out, you know.
Yeah.
Like
it feels normal, everyone's just normal people.
Everyone.
Really, at the end of the day.
And that's actually what you get. Yeah. Even with like the Webbers and stuff, you go, everyone, whoever it is normal.
Yeah.
Actually, I think even like the royal family would be, and people that we expect aren't. I think
they're all just human. We're all just humans.
Yeah.
And I guess like people who might be deemed, you know, super, super successful in like regular media and stuff like that will be supportive of people who, you know, everyone in their life just as much as they're being supported, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so, totally.
Like, you know, I might have friends that are being really supportive of me in any work that I'm doing, like with my book and like with the podcast and stuff like that. But like when they have things happen in their life, it's so important to be like encouraging for them as well, because just because it's not so much in the public eye, I don't think I worded that right, but do you get what I mean?
I do 100% get what you mean.
Like supporting everyone in your life, no matter if they're in the public eye or not.
Absolutely.
And it just reminds you that everyone's all just humans, and like
totally.
As much as you might have a win that's really public, actually like there's so much other stuff in life that also is going on. It's just,
yeah, absolutely. At the end of the day, we all fart, don't we? And I remember hearing Melanie fart for the first time and was like, oh my God.
Mel C fart.
Mel C fart.
Pass it on. It.
I smell her. At the end of the day, I everyone fart. It. And that's the thing. You know, we've just
and
got to remember.
That's the name of my new album. At the end of the day, yeah, everyone farts.
Yeah, it's true. We're all the same. We all have bodily functions.
No, truly. What is the name of your album? Because it's not that.
Musical's Greatest Hits.
Musical's Greatest Hits.
Yes, it's very original.
No, but it's filled with absolute bangers.
It is bangers. You know what? I mean, it's like my dream album that I've wanted to make the whole of my life. Oh. It's not just like I wanted to do it for a few years. Mm-hmm. Like, I grew up in a different generation to you, obviously. You were 3 when I went to college. But like, I didn't have the social media.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything at the touch of a button. I didn't have the internet. So when I was growing up and finding my love for musicals, it was through compilation albums from West End stars. And that's what I used to buy at like every garage or supermarket or shop. And that's what inspired me. So I always wanted to make one.
Yeah.
And, you know, having a sort of beautiful collection of music like that, I think is just timeless and lovely. But even after the TV show, like when really, you know, for that period after the TV show, I felt like I knew what it was to be famous. It wanes away and like, you know, it's different now 13 years later, obviously. I wouldn't consider myself as famous anymore. But that sort of level of fame, I thought it would bring me the opportunity to do an album. Mm-hmm. And I remember like signing with a massive manager who had me, like me and Susan Boyle. And I was I'm gonna be massive. Yeah. I'm gonna get a record deal. I'm gonna make this dream album. And actually, like, no one at that point would part with the money so expensive to make a beautiful album like that. And it's such a lot of commitment from any record label and team. And, you know, I really wanted to do it. I tried so many years, and it wasn't until last year I sat down with Neil O'Brien for lunch, and he was like, come on, let's do an album. What are we going to do? And I was like, I just don't want to do an album unless it's proper, unless it's all out, musical theatre, massive orchestra. And I was like, no, you'll never be able to do that. It's too complicated. There's too many licenses and contracts and agreements and money and huge expense. And he was like, do you really want to do that? And I was like, yeah, I do. I want to make a proper, legit, great sounding, full musical theatre album. And he was like, okay, let's do it. So I was like, oh, wow. It took me like 13 years after the TV show to get someone to say yes. And then he did. And I got to do it with the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, which is incredible. I met them when I was doing the proms in Korea last year. And I sort of asked if they would come on board with it. And they said yes. And the rest is sort of history. We got just to pick beautiful songs and record it with 90 musicians, which is just blows my mind.
That's amazing.
And it just, the sound of it and the style of it, it's like everything I could have dreamed for, really.
So you worked on that with Westway, who do lots of albums for musical theatre performance.
Yeah, do you know what? I've got to like just set a massive appreciation for what Neil and Rachel and everyone there are doing, because actually without a company like that, all the musical albums and the musical artists that everyone loves wouldn't be actually recording. No one's committing to our craft. And I think we're really shortchanged in so many levels of media. Like, we're not supported as a community, as an artist industry. Don't think we get the proper media attention that we deserve. I don't think that we get the proper support commercially that we deserve. Mm. And, you know, I think actually, I don't know whether it was Andrew Lloyd Webber that told me this, but there's a statistic that more people watch musicals every week than football. Right?
Put that on a postcard.
More people buy tickets to musical theatre than football. And I don't know if that's true, but someone did tell me
that. No, it is true.
And I think it was someone legit, like Lloyd Webber.
So
if that's the case, like, you know, football is the stars. Them people are absolute stars. But
and they're making millions.
Millions a week. And we commit ourselves to this amazing industry, which we all absolutely love. And there are so many people that love musicals, but do we get the support? I don't think we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the fact that people like Westway are there putting the money where their mouth is, supporting us as a community and industry that are giving stuff to the people that actually love the material that we work on and that we do is really amazing, I think. They deserve some props for it.
Claps to Westway.
Yeah.
confessions of a drama queen. Great.
Beautiful.
So I've got a confession from a listener. Also, I've got a new phone case. Everyone check it out.
Hashtag, I want one of those where you can hold it.
Well, actually, I thought it was a pop socket, but it's actually not. It's like a stand.
Oh, so that's
like,
quite nice.
It goes like that. Oh, right. It goes like that and you can stand your phone up, which that's is quite really good because I do watch like YouTube all the time. Okay. Hey, Hannah, your podcast is my guilty pleasure in the best way. And my TikTok for you page is basically West End / stagey videos 24/7. But that's the extent of my involvement in the theatre world. I'm 22, have a normal corporate job, but something in me will not stop saying maybe I should try acting. I'm just worried though. Is it too late to start now? Please be honest.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I don't think it's too late ever. I think that if you're going to like flip, turn and reverse your whole life, you have to have the most innate self-belief and ego that will allow you to keep pushing forward, because you're never going to be knocked back as much in anything that you ever do in your life than working in this industry. Like there are so many moments where you go, Why can't I get that? Why can't I do that? Why won't they give me that job? Why can't I get this opportunity? And even when sometimes we're winning, like, you know, when I'm like, when you're playing like big leading roles, you go, oh, why can't I do that? Because when you've got something, it's your life, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like what people say about getting rich. They're like, go, you never really feel rich because you always want more.
Yeah.
And I think it's with our industry, we can achieve, you get to a level, but then you see what someone else is doing and you think, oh, I need that, and now I need that, and do I need to do that as well? Should I be doing that too, as well as that? You know, I think that if you're going to like do it, yes, look, we get the most pleasure, I think, out of our jobs than anyone could ever get. And when we're winning, we're winning. But the times when that happens is so rare.
Yeah.
In like the span of a career, I think it's a really hard career to choose. So I think if you've got like thick skin, and you're willing to do it.
And work hard.
And work hard.
and go all in.
And really be willing to learn. I feel like we constantly learning in our industry
as
well.
Yeah, we never stop learning.
No. I just returned to Phantom this summer. Obviously, I did it in town, but it was like 10 years ago.
Mm.
And I did it for 2 years in town. And then I went back into the world too, which is the same actual like Halprin's production. And even then, doing it for like 8 weeks this summer, I was like, I learned a whole new way of it. It was a bit of a different Phantom. And I just thought it would be easy stepping back in. But we do constantly learn and constantly learn from people and new directors and new musical directors and things, you know. So, yeah, I think you've just got to be really open and you've got to have the biggest self-belief. You've got to really be able to visualize that you're going to be an actress.
Yeah, I think it's tough because... I think they said they're working in a corporate job or something. A normal corporate job, and they're 22. So, like, if you are going to go all in musical theatre, are you going to work? Are you going to do that as well? Like, it's about finding balance. And, you know, after Italia Conti, I trained at the London School of Musical Theatre for a year and did a year there. And there were people in my year, I think one guy was, like, 34. Like, there was people of all different ages in the school, and people who had just trained as lawyers and then decided, actually, I want to do musical theatre and come here for like a year intensive. So maybe an option like that or something like that would be good for you, because then it's like you're going for it for a year. And obviously it's not cheap. So like drama school is not cheap. And a lot of courses that are shorter courses aren't government funded.
Yeah.
But maybe that's something that you could use
to
commit you to it. Like do a year intensive course or do some intensive weeks or months here and there to like go all in. Because also if you're trying to continue your job and do it at the same time,
that's really hard.
It's going to be really tough at this stage.
But she is only 22.
Yeah.
22
yeah.
is really young. You can definitely like have a year out trying to fulfill 100%. A dream, can't you?
If you can financially like support yourself through that,
absolutely.
Then I would say
yeah.
that's a good shout.
I think you should just do it.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
And like learn as much as you can, get to as many classes as you can.
Yeah.
Go and see as much theatre as you can, although that also isn't cheap. So it's looking like it's going to be an expensive year for you. So start saving.
Start saving. But the good thing is you work in a corporate job, you can just return to it.
Yeah.
You know, if in a year's time or a year and a half's time or 3 years' time, you know, I always think that fate and destiny, I do totally believe in fate and destiny. Like I can think about the three little decisions in my life that changed my life, deciding to do things or not. If you just decide to to go in a certain route, I think you can really win.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you'll just be the same person as you are today. But what fun is that? You can't be that for like 90 years.
Yeah.
You've got to take some changes, haven't you? Push yourself.
Put yourself out there. See what's the worst that can happen?
Oh my God. And then when you're in Hollywood, you can say, Hannah and Ben told me to do it and I did it. And then we'll just take 10% commission. Thank you.
Yeah. And then we'll add your name to our list of famous people on our phones. Perfect.
Yeah, you'll be the most famous person on my
phone. We're manifesting it for you. And that brings me to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for joining me,
Thanks,
Ben.
Thanks, it was so much fun.
It's been so nice having a little chat. We found out we went to the same drama school.
Can we do it tomorrow again?
Yeah, same time tomorrow.
I'd be quite happy just sitting here chatting.
Yeah, me too. It's nice, isn't it? And don't forget, you can get Ben's album on the 21st of November. It's going to be out. You can already stream The Winner Takes It All, which has got a whole music video and it's very fabulous. So make sure you go and do that. And you can follow Ben on his socials at
The Ben Forster. I've just joined TikTok. Oh my God. But you know, I can't, I'm just too old.
I'll teach you after this.
Please, we'll I need a lesson.
Okay.
I need a lesson.
Okay, well, you can follow him on TikTok, Instagram, all the above. Yeah. And that's the end of the episode.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for watching. Bye, guys.
Yeah.